From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of September 2012. Be safe on your combine. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. The folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County will discuss the cash grain market with us, and we'll look at the weather forecast with the guys at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois, looking out on a beautiful day from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Along the way today, we'll hear from Tanya Geese. She serves as the president of the Illini Quarterback Club. And one more time, I'll ask you again if you'd like to come and visit with us for Salute to Agriculture Day at Memorial Stadium. That's this Saturday. Kicks off at 9 o'clock in the morning in the Aces tailgate tent just to the west of the Assembly Hall. And we'll do all of that today on the Closing Market Report from Monday afternoon from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
Well, in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. September contract for the soft red winter wheat at $8.68 and a quarter was down 16.5 cents today. December futures at $8.89 and three quarters, 15 and a quarter lower. And the July of next year, that's the harvest month, $8.66 and a quarter for the soft red, down 2.5. A hard red in Kansas City was down 3 and three quarters at $8.86 and three quarters. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby September contract $7.81 and a half, 13 and a half lower. December at $7.82 and three quarters, down 16 and three quarters on its close. The March at 787, down 15 and a half. And the May at 786, down 12 and three quarters. July corn at 771, down 14 and three quarters. And December futures a nickel lower at $6.56. Remember, these are closes and not settlement prices just yet. September beans 1713 and three quarters, down 18 cents at the close. November at 1720, down 16 and a half. And January at 1718, so 17 and three quarters lower. March at 1664 and a quarter, down 16 and a half. The main contract at $15.83 and three quarters, down 15 and a quarter in the bean pit. Next year's November at 1354 and a half, down 13 and a quarter. Bean meal futures on the afternoon at 527.70, down 390. Bean oil, 3 cents lower at $56.04. Live cattle futures finished the October at 125.75, down 72 and a half cents. December's up 2 and a half at 129.20. September feeders at 144.95, 65 higher. And lean hogs in the October, 72.57 and a half, up 122 and a half. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $96.45 a barrel, up 3 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $3.02 and 3 tenths of a cent. That's up 3 and 9 tenths of a cent. Ethanol futures at $2.47 and 9 tenths, and the lead option down 3 and 3 tenths of a cent. And then the difference is about 54 cents to the positive. That means it's good to blend the ethanol into the natural, into the gasoline supply. Now the natural gas, $2.82. That's up 13 and 8 tenths. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.16 and 4 tenths of a cent, up 1.5 cents on the day. And the gold futures at $1,729.20 an ounce, down $8.80 for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar for the day trading at 80.36, that's up 0.11. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 313.26, 1.59 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 76 degrees on a southeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, clear and low, 51 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 84. Tuesday night, clear and low and 56. Wednesday, sunny, a high of 85 degrees on a south wind at 6 to 13. Wednesday night, mostly clear and a low of 62. Thursday, sunny skies and 83 degrees. And Thursday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 62. Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high of 77 degrees. And Friday night, showers on the evening, and then into the afternoon, mostly cloudy, a low of 57. Friday evening, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and once again, low of 57. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 73 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 54. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 77 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. on the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the agricultural futures markets. Here on the Closing Market Report is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It turned red in Chicago. Is that because we're harvesting this week or other reasons?
Well, I think that's, you know, one of the factors. We're actually seeing some activity start to pick up here. You know, yields all over the place. It's going to be kind of exciting here as we move along to continue to receive yield reports from the field to see what type of the result we have from this weather pattern we had this past year. Then also, too, we're seeing just the market's kind of tired here. We've had a good run. The drought's been well advertised. The market's looking for some fresh news, and we're just not receiving it. So we have a feeling open interest numbers will be down tomorrow. We feel this is kind of a little bit of a liquidation phase we're going through ahead of the report. Cycle-wise, we're due for a shorter-term 29-day low and through here. We're midweek or midway through the longer-term weekly cycles. So the market's doing its thing here by correcting and hopefully alleviating a little bit of the overbought status on the long-term charts that we've developed here over the last 2 months.
Well, of course, we don't have much in the way of fresh news, but we'll get a whole bunch of it on Wednesday morning. What are your expectations for the USDA report?
Well, that's a good one to ask. There, like I mentioned to Dave earlier today, there's a lot of moving targets, and one number is going to affect the other number. You know, if you tinker for yield and harvested acres, planted acres, and you know, then you got to mess with demand. Two general observations. One is the carryout's not going to go to zero. If carryout's zero on Wednesday morning, it'll be a whole new adventure. But the thing to probably watch in all the numbers is the production number. I think that's probably more important from a producer's point of view to kind of keep an eye on. You know, the corn production number, you know, the trades dial in to a close 10.4 billion bushel. If the number is that or less, it's going to be positive. And the bean number is about a 2.65, and that's going to be a kind of a key number to watch, we feel, Todd.
When we've had discussions with Darrell Good in the last couple of weeks, he's been of the mind that he wanted to wait at least until this report coming out Wednesday morning to make any kind of over-the-scale sales for both corn and soybeans. And then, depending on what that showed, either to sell it right out of the field, which was probably more likely, and mostly it was how quickly to sell it out of the field, and then to replace it on the board in some form. What's your ideas?
I think that's a good observation. When you look at the marketplace, the strong basis compared to past history says that the trade wants the grain now versus later. You know, like mentality is going down the lines, well, look at the price now, wait till later on. Well, I don't know if that's the case. Is, you know, the only way we could probably be higher down the road or much higher down the road is we develop production problems in the southern hemisphere. So that selling and replacing would probably be a good money management strategy in here. That way you can retain some ownership with a managed risk position here in case things do get positive down the road. But, you know, at these price levels, you know, the risk could be more to the downside. Probably what's more important than the report in the long run is the end user attitude or their thoughts. Are they going to pay up for a grain or are they going to find alternative sources? That's probably a little bit more important here as we move down the road.
And so we have basically for corn at least three sets of end users. That would be the export market and ethanol and then livestock domestically. Which one blinks first on this one?
Well, we feel it's the feeder. When you talk to guys that are actually feeding grain that's not part of a big co-op or part of a contract or anything, you know, the thing that's right away is they just don't want to pay up over $8 for corn. And so I think that's where the urgency is. You know, already we've seen the export market slow down some. You know, whether that continues or not, we'll see is down the road. But probably the main long-term concern in our mind is the feed use category, because the average person doesn't realize the reproductive phase of the livestock sector. I know you've got the quick fix up front here with the poultry, but the beef sector, that's a long-term process.
It seems to me that the beef sector is the one that has been, at least to this point, doing liquidation, and it started a couple of years ago with the drought in Texas, and they started to move animals out of Texas and into the feedlots, and then now we're faced in the last couple of years with really high prices. Do you suppose that there will be demand destruction that is simply permanent in that marketplace?
Well, hopefully not. You know, coupled to that is we saw a renewed export confidence in our beef sector, too. You know, the export market has rebounded quite a bit from the mad cow era, too. So hopefully we won't go too high here. But the same standpoint, too, is that, you know, we see pullbacks here, demand will pick up. We'll see what type of liquidation we have. The thing to look at is that beef prices are going to be in a position here to stay firm for at least another 2 years.
All right. One final question for you. If things come out as you expect they will on Wednesday morning, which of the commodities is the leader in the grains floor, the beans, the corn, or the wheat?
We feel the corn market continues to be the so-called leader here from a point it's probably got more solid legs under it than the rest of the commodities. So we feel pullbacks in here that corn's going to develop some pretty good buyers, Todd.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Okay, take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
And other websites you ought to visit is ours here at the radio stations. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming. And if you're in the combine and miss us on the radio and you have a smartphone, try this one out, m.willag.org. No HTTP, no www, rather, in front of that one, just m.willag.org. Or you can simply dial up this number, 217-333-3434. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, major farm groups pushing for a new 5-year farm bill wrote Senate leaders on Friday asking them not to pass a standalone disaster bill. The American Farm Bureau stated the 13 farm groups wrote Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell asking them to refrain from supporting the disaster bill the House passed just before adjourning for the August recess. Farm groups are calling for a major rally at the Capitol on Wednesday to push lawmakers to adopt a new farm bill before the end of the month, when the 2008 Farm Bill expires. House and Senate Agriculture Committee leaders have been asked to speak at the rally. The International Longshoremen's Association and East and Gulf Coast Waterfront Employers have agreed to a request from the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service to resume stalled contract negotiations next week. The action gives the two sides one last chance to come to agreement on a new master contract before the current one expires on September 30th. A strike in October and November would seriously affect supply chains, just as stores are stocking their shelves for the Christmas buying season. China's imports of most commodities slowed in August from a month earlier as its economy weakened and global prices for some agricultural products hit record highs. Soybean imports tumbled after the worst drought to afflict the U.S. Midwest in decades helped push prices to historic highs. China's August soybean imports fell 24.7% from July and 2% from August 2011 to 4.42 million million metric tons, the second lowest level this year. Crushers have slowed soybean imports because profit margins have declined. In an effort to check inflation, Beijing has strongly discouraged cooking oil producers from raising prices. August edible oil imports fell 11.1% from July and 7.2% on year to 649,000 tons. India is unlikely to stop exporting wheat anytime soon, despite fears of a drought during the summer, as late monsoon rains have brightened prospects. Rainfall over the country's main wheat-growing northern provinces has picked up in recent weeks. India has emerged as a major wheat exporter in global markets since the end of March. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can catch both of those programs on our website at willag.org, on our mobile website at m.willag.org, or a piece of the closing and opening market reports on our phone line at 217-333-3434. You know, for the last couple of weeks, I've been urging you to visit our website, willag.org, and then hit the Salute to Agriculture webpage and buy tickets for this weekend's game. You can do that through tomorrow afternoon. It's against Charleston Southern, and if you do, the cost is just $20, includes the Aces tailgate. You get a couple of drinks, beers if you want them, and breakfast, all for $20. Just come out and see the game at Memorial Stadium. I wanted to know a bit more about the Illini football team and thought, where better to go than, well, not Coach Beckman, but the president of the Illini Quarterback Club, Tanya Geese. She's on the phone line now. Tanya, thanks for taking the time. What is the Illini Quarterback Club?
Okay, the Quarterback Club is a group of people that get together and we raise funds for the football program only, meaning our funds that we bring in are used by the coach for discretionary items like equipment or travel or special events for the team. And things that DIA normally would not pay for.
So if you want to support the team in that form, you can do it through the Quarterback Club. Yeah. What's it cost to be a member, and what are the benefits?
$60 for a family is the membership fee. The benefits of the club are better access to the team and coaches. Every year we have a meet and greet. We invite our members in. They're able to eat dinner with the team and former players and the coaches and get to know them. We also have luncheons every Monday at 11 o'clock at the Round Barn. And that event is attended by the coach and usually a senior player. He goes through some video talking about maybe what had happened in the last game, what to look forward to in the next game, or sometimes we see videos that the team has, only the team has seen, so like pump-up videos and things like that. And we hear a little bit more from the players about their experience at the U of I and how they have perceived Illinois football through the 4 years that they've been there.
So it's kind of a symbiotic relationship where you help the coach, you help the players, you get better access to both, and you all sort of work together.
Yes, we do. We have alliances with the football office, with the former player representative, Mike Bellamy. We work very closely with all of the coaches, with the Block I. We also work with them to help fund things that they might want to do that the coach feels would enhance the game day experience. We help fund those types of activities as well.
Speaking of game day, the Illini will be back in town on the 15th of September. They're looking forward to a pretty good-sized crowd and hope everybody comes out for Salute to Agriculture Day.
I know that the 15th, our fans are going to come out in droves. They're ready to see this football team perform.
Quarterback Club has a website and people can sign up there.
Yep, IlliniQBC.com. We have all of the membership forms are on that website. We also have bus trip forms on the website because we sponsor away trips to the away games coming up in October. We have Wisconsin that will be going a round trip bus transportation. Michigan, Ohio State, we have a 2-day tour for that. And usually that includes your rooms, your breakfast, your dinner, and your ticket, and your transportation.
All right. So lots of good things from the Illini Quarterback Club. You can find it online at www.illiniqbc.com or IlliniQuarterbackClub.com. That's QBC. Thanks, Tanya, for taking the time with us.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Hey, you too. Tanya Geese is the president of the Illini Quarterback Club. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. This evening at the Illinois Farm Bureau building right here in Champaign County, U of I Extension and the Champaign County Marketing Club are hosting a marketing event. If you'd like to come, it's open and free to everyone. Dave Dickey will be there emceeing the event. Kurt Kimmel will be on that panel along with Bill Mayer and Jackie Vakes. Starts, I think, at 7 o'clock there at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building. That's out on the west side of Champaign on Country Fair Drive. On the phone line with us on this Monday to take a look at the cash grain market is Amy Murray. She's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon.
Any truck lines there at the Andersons?
We do actually have a little bit of traffic coming through here. We're dumping quite a bit of corn, but we also have a discounted drying deal right now, so I think that's getting some wetter corn out a little bit sooner.
Tell me about that, please.
We actually were at a reduced rate, a penny per half point or 2 cents a point all the way up to 25 and then back to our regular rate of 3.5 cents a point from 25 to 30.
So how wet is it coming in to you?
Average of 22 and a half, 23.
And producers saying, or their drivers saying, it's any good, or are they just bringing it in?
It's really across the board, to be honest with you. You know, even varying throughout from field to field, I'm sure you've heard that quite a bit. But it's really yields across the board, but, you know, nothing in that 200 range.
And when do you expect real, I know you're bringing it out of the field now, but you're coaxing it out. When do you expect it just to really start rolling?
You know, I think it's going to be a week and a half, 2 weeks.
No, so quite a while yet. So you'll see a break then in that time frame. You're just loading a train at this point?
We are loading a train and, you know, just kind of managing our space and hoping to help some guys out here with this rate.
Are you checking every load for aflatoxin?
We are not. Right now, you know, we're kind of just spot checking. We haven't had a huge problem with it at this point. So, you know, we're obviously trying to identify mold at this point and, you know, running the sporadic tests. So.
How is basis holding up?
Basis has stayed, you know, pretty firm. We haven't increased here in the past week and a half, but we still are posted at the 20 over level on corn and 2 under on soybeans.
Okay, and that makes your bids what for the day?
Our bids are going to be 803 for cash corn for fall, 804 for January delivery, 626 for fall 13. Nearby quick ship bid for beans is 1724. Fall bid is 1717, January 1718, and fall 2013 is at 1315, with new crop July 13, wheat at 841.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Murray is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, joining us on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes and talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
It's hot dog day. The first recorded hot dog sausage as we know it today was eaten by the Greeks from at least 850 BC. But the idea of putting a hot dog on bread dates to 1880. By the way, baseball and hot dogs go back to at least 1893, when you could go to Sportsman's Park and catch a St. Louis Browns game and grab the newfangled hot dog. On this day in agricultural history in 1898, Waldo Seaman was born, an American chemical engineer. His technical leadership led to the discovery of three major new polymer families: thermoplastic polyurethane, synthetic natural rubber, and oil-resistant synthetic rubbers. In 1859, Thomas Nuttall died, an English naturalist and botanist. He collected and studied plants around the Chesapeake Bay area in the U.S. In 1913, the official route of the Lincoln Highway was announced. It was the first coast-to-coast highway running from New York to San Francisco. And in 2001, the first case of mad cow disease in Asian animals was reported in a dairy cow in Japan. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon. Josh Darr is on the phone line to help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
I am really great, and the weather is just fantastic. Producers probably would like at this point for it to stay pretty good, for them to stay in the field and for corn to dry out maybe, although rain is always welcome, I suppose, during a drought year. What do you see in the forecast?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. It's the next couple of days look just quintessential gorgeous early fall weather, and actually temps are going to warm up here even more so over the next couple of days. We'll see temps in the upper 80s, even maybe some readings cracking the 90-degree mark again on Wednesday before a cold front comes through the plains and the Midwest starting on Thursday and then Friday with scattered rain showers along that front. Now, some models, including the European model, which is one of the better weather models we have out there, is projecting the possibility of a cutoff low pressure system over northern Illinois and eastern Iowa on Friday and Saturday, and then wraps up and ejects out by Sunday. We're not ready to fully buy into a cutoff low over the Midwest at this time of year, particularly given the large scale jet stream pattern across the Pacific, North America. So we think the opportunities for rains are late in the week. We think they're scattered in nature, though. We don't agree with these model solutions that at this point they're bogging rains down. Some of these runs are putting out 3-4 inches of rain on Friday and Saturday across northern Illinois, eastern Iowa, into Wisconsin. We're not ready to buy into that solution yet. Beyond that system, though, a break in the weather late in the weekend and then another cold front. Actually, it looks like a more decent punch of cooler autumn air comes into the Midwest. Scattered showers late Monday and Tuesday, a week from now, and then cooler air in the middle of next week with highs behind that cold front only in the 60s across the state, with mins dropping into the 40s. So it's, as you always see in autumn, a bit of a roller coaster, but it's feeling a lot more like autumn than summer these days.
I guess so. That'll feel pretty cool when we get to a 60-degree top, I suppose, next week, I would think.
Yeah, well, it feels like almost since February we've had those readings. So it's people will be putting jackets on, I'm sure.
What do you see around the rest of the planet? Maybe take a trip to South America for me.
Yeah, well, the big question we're seeing right now is, do the timely rains start in northern Brazil and Mato Grosso for early planting of corn and beans? And it looks like the middle of the month is climatologically when we see rains in Mato Grosso, and it looks like that will be the case this year. We don't see a delayed onset of rains there. A cold shot into Argentina. Beyond right around September 20th is something we're monitoring for potential chilly mornings with some readings in the 20s. So we're watching that for any early heading wheat across Argentina. And then finally, the other notable area across the globe is Australia, where a very dry late winter spring so far across the bulk of their acreage. And the only rains the next 10 days look to be by as far the south across both Western Australia and the eastern agricultural areas of that country. So Australia continues to be an area to watch very closely as rains are increasingly critical here by the end of the month.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Hey, Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being along with us. Make sure if you get the opportunity to see Davey tonight and the rest of the crew at the Illinois Farm Bureau building in Champaign County.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.